7 remake is over, except not quite ever. I am here. I'm Brooklyn Zed, ready to absolutely crush a pull-up competition here with my podcast co-host, Adam. Adam, how are you?
I could be better. I don't really think this was a good music choice. People are still frowning. Everyone's still sad around here. We're just laying on benches all the time. I think, like, you should pick a specific music thing that I'm not going to explain to you whatsoever, and then that's how we're going to have to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the way to go here.
Yeah, well, the best song is definitely the one they play at the Honey Bee Inn, which for some reason this child loves.
Yeah.
So go get that one.
Children in the Honey Bee Inn. Name a better duo. There's nothing better, really. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so we are here to talk about Chapter 14, In Search of Hope. I have titled this episode, I Got Your Hope Right Here, which is a Guys and Dolls reference, and also because I am Hard Rock Hope. There. Now I've explained the joke.
Nice. Yeah. Everyone's going to get it now. That's
nothing makes a joke funnier than explaining it right at the beginning.
Love a good explanation immediately after you make the joke.
So In Search of Hope, Chapter 14, a beefy boy here in the last third of the game.
No kidding, Zed. No friggin' kidding about the beefy boy. We did not take a break in podcast this time during my vacation. So no one come at me for taking a vacation here and missing a week of the Final Fantasy podcast. There were other podcasts that took a break. So just, you know, FYI, this one didn't take a break. So I just want everyone to be very, you know, I want to be very upfront in the expectations of me not getting yelled at for this.
Adam coming in hot this week.
I am coming in hot because you know why, Zed? I played the whole chapter last night.
Yeah, well, no one made you make that choice.
No. It was, yes, maybe. I was under the impression that we were trying to get through all of Chapter 14 for this podcast.
Potentially.
Yeah. You know, maybe that was a poor understanding on my part, but whatever. That was what I was led to believe. And it happened, kind of, more or less. And Chapter 14 has about 50 billion side quests that are all over everywhere. I mean, we are going back to stomping grounds after stomping grounds, all over the place. Everywhere we've basically ever been, we go to in this chapter. And it took forever.
Yeah, last week you were reunited with all the people you hadn't seen in 5 chapters. And this week you were reunited with all the places you hadn't seen in a hot minute.
And you know what? I was okay not seeing those places. I think I could have been okay to not go back to basically the majority of the places that we had been. I think there were 2 exceptions where I was like, okay, kind of cool to go back here maybe one more time. Because I don't think we'll be back here again. But then there were places like the freaking underground where we got that stupid music and we got to see the cranes again. I didn't need to go back there. I didn't need to fight more rando bandits again. Uh-huh. There was just no need for any of that. But here we are. We had to do it all. And I did a lot of the side quests, Ed. Yeah. I'm just going to say right off the bat, I did not complete all of that.
There's a lot.
There was no way I could complete all of them. And also, I didn't know how to complete all of them. The one I referenced right at the beginning of this podcast, the music one, I have no clue what music I'm supposed to put in there. I literally felt, Zed, I felt like such a freaking idiot walking around trying to pick up as many songs as I had. I probably put in 10 songs into that thing. And Betty or whatever her name is, a little girl.
Betty.
Yeah, she was like, nope. Yeah, screw you, Adam. These songs are too depressing. They're not putting a smile on people's faces, you big dumb idiot. How dare you? And that was the situation. So that music one is incomplete as of right now. So
got it. Okay.
That being said, I'm going to start with the end of this chapter here. Because at the very end, I was asked, are you ready to climb the wall with our very sketchy looking whatever gun.
The grappling hooks.
The grappling hooks. There's no
way. Classic video game tool.
Yeah, classic. We got one grappling hook. No way all three of us are being supported by that one grappling hook.
No, you each get your own, I think.
Yeah, you're telling me Barrett's getting up there on that little tiny grappling hook?
I don't know how he ever is climbing a ladder up or down. Yeah. So
he only has one arm.
And the animation, like, I could almost buy it. This is such a like nitpicky thing, but it bothers me so much. If he were holding like the side of the ladder rather than the rung,
yeah,
he maybe could like be pulling himself up and like grabbing himself as his weight pulled him back. But he grabs the rungs of the ladder.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you're just going vertically and you're gonna fall every time you let go because your right arm can't do anything.
Yeah. And I know Barrett is like a big guy, so you know, whatever. About that, it's not even that like he's a big guy, it's that his arm is a metal gun.
Yeah,
that's ridiculously heavy. Like, you can't even tell me that Big Bertha is not taking up a lot of the weight distribution on the okay, whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. This has bothered me since the first time.
It makes no sense. So at the end, Barrett was like, "You ready to go up the wall?" And I said no, just in case I needed to go back and do anything else that I missed.
Okay. As that's a good choice. Because, yeah, so, as the game points out to you 600 times,
yeah,
there's no turning back once you go over the wall. And that's correct.
Yes.
Once you go over the wall, you're done with the slums. You're done with all these places that you ran around the whole game up to this point. And you will spend the rest of the game elsewhere.
Yes.
So we'll talk it through. I'll let you know if you missed anything important that you want to go back and do. But you're probably fine.
Yeah. I think I did more than was expected. Like, there's no way everyone does all these side quests. I feel like, because you could have just skipped them entirely.
Yeah. Not everyone does. Some of us do.
Some of us do all of them. Couldn't be me. Okay. So, let's start with the side quest, because I believe that's basically where we start. I do have... So... Again, the way the chapters go, sometimes like the chapter ends, but you're in a cutscene and you have to right. like play it out. And so I believe the beginning of this chapter actually started back at Aerith's house in a garden.
Yes.
That was like, because I played that part the last time I played.
Gotcha.
But I got to see Aerith in a garden and she turned into a ghost and said, come save me. So mm-hmm. that was the situation.
Yeah. So that scene is dependent on choices you make throughout the game. It is not guaranteed that you will get Aerith. You can get Tifa, and if you very intentionally play in a very specific way, you can get Barret.
Oh. Yeah. I'm pretty happy with my Aerith.
I am too. Definitely. I think it's the most interesting one because she literally can't be there.
Yeah.
Rather than like Tifa or Barret walked out of the house and they're like hanging out in the garden because they can't sleep. You do get this really interesting moment with Aerith where she's like, don't fall in love with me. I know you fell in love with me already, or you think you have, but just don't, because yeah. it can't happen.
What is this hard to get nonsense said? What is this? Really, I want them to be together. What do you mean, don't fall in love with me? What a ridiculous thing to say to someone. Can you imagine saying that to someone, Zed? Be like, hey, I know you've fallen in love with me, but don't fall. Like, what? What is that? What do you mean, don't fall in love with me, Aerith? Are you kidding me? You've been like,
it's
number
some
one.
Some rich in... white girl shit. It... Is
Are rich white girls saying this to people?
I wouldn't know. I avoid them like the plague. But
it's fine.
That's it's an Aerith move for
they
you.
Avoid me like the plague.
I do
it.
Recommend it, if you have an extra 5 minutes, checking out, you can watch the other two scenes just on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And see what you missed. The Barrett one is really good too. He talks about like all these other people in Avalanche that he's fought for and that he cares about. Gives you like kind of more stakes and investment. But I think the Aerith one's really moving and really interesting. And it's like, you know, this is what we're fighting for. And it's not about me. It's about this like cause, aside from the don't fall. I know you think you've fallen in love with me, but don't.
Does Barrett say that too? Or
yeah, I wish. I guess this is kind of like our equivalent of the wall market date, where you can end up riding the coaster or the tram or whatever with
the golden saucer.
Yeah, the golden saucer. Yeah, not Wall Market, the gold saucer.
I believe I went on that date with Aerith as well.
Yeah. And she shoves you out the door.
Yeah. It was, I think I famously said it was the best date that I had in 2022.
That's right.
Spoiler alert, still is the case.
Well, no actual date here, just a phantom hallucination of a chat in the garden.
This was a very bad date. Don't fall in love with me. That is not what you want to hear.
Definitely not.
We wake up and we leave Aerith's house, and then we just get bombarded with side quests here. Absolutely.
Everybody needs your bombarded. Help.
Absolutely, everyone needs something. And here we are. So, fair warning, I'm going along with a guide here because my notes make no sense for what I actually did, and I did not do them in order. But the gist of them, let's just go one by one here. So, we start off, it was the first one that I accepted too. We saw, lo and behold, I'm so sorry. I should say one thing before we do this, because as we get back into sector five, six, seven?
Not seven.
I think it's five.
Okay.
Was that right?
Sector five is where Aerith lives.
Yeah. Okay. So we get back into sector five, and there is this girl, Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie.
Spelled Kyrie.
Spelled Kyrie.
Kyrie.
I kind of like the name Kyrie. We see Kyrie, who is stirring up quite the ruckus all around town. She is blaming Avalanche for everything, but then also saying that Wu Tai is to blame here a little bit as well. And so, I'm no fan of Wu Tai. That has been known for a while. no fan of Wu Tai here. But obviously, Wu Tai is not at fault in this particular situation, and neither necessarily is Avalanche. But she's spreading a bunch of rumors and getting everyone riled up. Barret is, getting frustrated. He's creating fists with his hands and, getting all upset and huffy, gruffy. And so that's the start. But Kyrie is important a little bit here as we get through this chapter. So that's the first thing that happens in Sector 5. Everyone's being riled up. Everyone's pissed. Everyone's mad at somebody. But they also need stuff. Everyone needs something. And so the first person we see, lo and behold, back from her stint as a honeybee. Welcome back, Miss Volia.
Uh-huh.
The school
it's
teacher.
Always really fun when you're like, I don't think we'll ever see them again. And I know that they're coming back.
Yeah. Somehow, yet again, she has lost the children.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to say it. Maybe she's not that good at her job. I don't know.
Her investment is elsewhere. Dreams lie on the stage.
Listen, I'm famously very pro that. Like, she should be able to go and be a honeybee girl, whatever. That's fine. Maybe stop losing the kids.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, to be fair, my dreams also lie on the stage, and I take care of children and I don't lose them.
Yeah.
So step up your game.
Honestly, I don't even think it's that hard to not lose kids. They're very loud and very annoying. Like, they're just kind of there, It's especially because it's more annoying if they are. Anyway, I don't need to go on a rampage about kids. I have to go find kids again, and I just have to go traipsing around, freaking at everywhere. Some of the kids are easier to find than others. That is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go, I'm trying to think about exactly where they were here. There was one that was just hanging out, I think. And then there was one that was in the, not the Colosseum, but the big opening.
It's like the cemetery. It's where you went and fought in chapter 8. You went and fought the monster blocking the guy's wife's grave.
Yes. There were some in there, but apparently, as I got there, some of the kids had been taken by ghosts or ghouls or something.
Something.
I don't know. This felt really... this was a lot. Like, maybe we could
the phantom.
Just... Yeah. And then we had to fight more ghosts. So great.
Yeah. This game has phantoms and ghosts and ghouls. And all of their properties are slightly different, but pretty equally annoying.
But basically the same, where they disappear all the time. Oh, I really got duped in one of I think it was this fight. I think I was using Tifa's limit break, and just as it was about to go off, they went into
whatever
spooky
form.
And I was very upset. That was the children. We returned the children, and then we got back, and Miss Folia was like, thank you. Come see me perform in the show. I'm very sexy. That's it. I don't know. Just like, you know, that was the gist of what she was saying. That was the vibes of what I heard her say.
Okay.
Yes. We also got, I think, from her. No, I think it was someone else. Who did we get the materia from? Was this the time materia? I should look at the thing. I don't know why I'm not looking at the walkthrough
and you get time materia from Miss Folia.
I haven't used it yet, but I have time materia equipped to bear it, I think.
So you have haste now.
Yeah. I should figure out what that is, because that could probably be useful at some point. Mm-hmm. Also, side note, I love fighting as Barrett, because, God, the freaking barrage of bullets that he has from Big Bertha is really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Missing Children, side quest number one. I have to be fast about this, because there are literally, like, 10 of them.
Yeah.
Okay, second up, and this was probably the most important one, the one that you sent me the walkthrough for before I even started playing this chapter, the Chocobos searching.
Yeah.
Because
that will essentially unlock fast travel among all these different places that you have to go to do all the things.
Which is big, although it's not quite as big if you don't know where you need to go. because then it doesn't really matter how fast you can get there. So we talked to just a random stable hand who looks mysteriously like Chocobo Sam.
They all kind of look the same.
They look basically the same. I have a couple questions. Are they related? And if they're not, are they together? I don't know. I would like to see either situation.
I would like to see it.
And then we have the Chocobos who are missing. We have three missing Chocobos out on the loose. And again, I will just say, Chocobos are so freaking loud. How are you losing them? They're working all over the place and like you're still losing them? Come on. And so there are three Chocobos we have to go find. And I do have the locations. Although one of them was just in a ridiculous random back alley. Who knows? Who knows how it got there? That was the easy one to find. Now I find that one right on my own. No hints or nothing.
Uh-huh.
The other one that I found, which was not because I necessarily knew that I needed to go there, but rather because I was going there for other reasons that we'll talk about, was near the church in sector, I think it was still sector 5, right?
Yep.
I think we missaid that on a previous podcast.
Probably.
That the church was in a different sector. Whatever. That's an old podcast. We don't care. Okay. It was in the old church, which I will say, we'll talk more about the old church when we get to that particular side quest. That was probably the one place that I was like, oh, this is kind of cool that we get to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other places, whatever, including the final place where the Choco is, the collapsed expressway.
The worst place in the game.
The terrible location here for anything. And I feel like I had to go back here like 6 times.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It was just...
Because you go fight bandits in here too, right?
Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. That was the whole thing. And I hated it. I hate it, Zed. It's the worst music in the game. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Also, with some of these chocobos, there's just like random boss fights that happen here because it wasn't enough to just go find them out in the middle of nowhere. We had to have a boss fight. There was I didn't even know it was called a rush drake, but the drake there by the one, in the, whatever it's called. That was a tough fight. The drake almost got me there.
Yeah.
I think I did this one pretty early too. And so, I wasn't as leveled up as I was by the end of the chapter. I probably leveled up everybody 4 or 5 times this chapter. Like everyone got so much XP from fighting all the stuff. Also because I took the wrong way a lot. And so there were more random encounters in addition to all the extra boss fights. So there you go. We had the boss fight with the Drake. All the other, the other ones were fine. Certainly not as difficult as some of the other random encounters we had on this chapter. We found all three Chocobos. Chocobo Sam loves us, and we have a lifetime pass, aka for the rest of this chapter, to use these Chocobos in perpetuity for free. Free Chocobo rides forever from Chocobo Sam. Good for us. There we go.
Whew. Now we're bopping around the slums.
That's true. Now we're going absolutely everywhere. Okay. Also, while we were in Walmart, seeing Sam, I saw Madame M, who I love, who, guess what? She had a side quest for us too. Why not?
Of course.
Because everyone has to do it, right? Hers was basically just taking out some baddies.
Some malicious goons.
Some malicious goons. There were I think some Shinra people that were like, oh, we're goons and we're going to kill people or something. I don't know. And they wanted us to, she wanted us to take them out. And this was the time that we went back to that rando Coliseum that we fought Glasses McGee over there. And so this fight, first of all, I hate it because all we are fighting is a singular Tonberry. And boy, do I remember the Tonberries from Final Fantasy VII who just randomly kill you in one shot. And there was nothing I could do about it. They just straight up killed me. I lost this fight probably 6 or 7 times. This was very frustrating last night because, number one, I did not know what to do. He just had a little knife that apparently did infinite damage in one hit. And also, it randomly had the ability to just freeze me for multiple seconds and walk right towards me and kill me.
Yeah, it's got its little knife, the little stabby boys. If anybody's been watching me in my futile endeavors over on twitch.tv/hardrockhope for the mid-pod plug, nice. I have been doing the hardest fight in the game in the combat simulator for more hours than is appropriate. And in one of those fights, lots of Tonberries appear and I am very mad at them.
No.
But yeah, it's an instant kill. It's not even damage related. It's just straight up, it will instantly kill you. And it can like teleport around. So all of a sudden it's right next to you and then you're dead. The only way you can combat that at all is if you have subversion materia and you link it to a warding materia, which will help you resist it, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
But it's better than nothing.
Thankfully, though, after this ridiculously hard fight and we took out more goons, we were rewarded with one elixir. That was all we got for the reward on this. Was a singular elixir from this ridiculously hard fight. Okay. That's 3. Bang. We're doing really good here, I think.
Yes. You got through that fight. That's great. You beat Tonberry. Got an elixir.
Okay. I'm looking at the 4th one here. And just right off the bat, I did not do this one. So
the pull-ups?
Yeah, it looks like I did not didn't even see that there was an option to do pull-ups. So maybe,
oh my goodness,
I can go back and do that.
Yeah, you can.
Boom.
There's a handful of different rewards you can get depending on how well you do it. Like you can do it a couple of times. And it helps to at least do the first one because you get you know, all the different, what are they called? They're like the manuscripts. You get like the way of the fist and the way of the sword and those things. Those are important to get because then you're able to upgrade your weapons with more abilities and skills and damage and things.
Okay. So I'll have to go back and do that. I'll report back next week.
I'd go at least do it once because you'll get that. If you're able to do it to pro, you get a champion belt, which is a good, a very good accessory, but not as important as at least getting Tifa that extra SP.
Okay, good to know. The next one I'm going to talk about is the one that we get from Weimer, I think, back at the park place that we've been multiple times,
like Greenwood Park or something.
Yeah, something like that. We get that, and he basically says, oh, underground, there's a ton of very scary monsters. Go kill them. Flashbacks to all the previous chapters. We head underground into the little weird hole thing to go there. I don't know.
Yes, under the Moogle slide.
Yes. And there we go. We just kill a bunch of stuff, basically. There were various monsters.
The behemoth is the big fight.
The big behemoth.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember this one. Oh, this was tough because it kept like pinning down people. Uh-huh. But I didn't actually lose this fight. So it was not, it was vulnerable to fire, I think. Mm-hmm. Assessments area coming out huge. Also, I do have a Chadley update at some point.
Ooh.
So Tifa has the fire materia. I just kept using fire materia, got it down one thing at a time. And then once you get the stagger bar up, like we use the big abilities limit break. So
yep.
this like wasn't terribly difficult. And so another boss fight. There were so many boss fights this chapter. We get a bunch of stuff, including a horn of the behemoth, which leads us into the next side quest.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them. This one was the dude back in Sector 5, a doctor of some kind who we had seen previously associated with Aerith.
Yeah, because she's so generous and she helps out around town.
So generous. And the doctor's like, hey, I need stuff for medicine to help people. Can you go get a bunch of random shit for me because I can't do it myself? Okay, great. The first place we need to go is the church, which I said before. So this was basically the reason why I was going out to the church, is because the hint was something about Aerith and flowers. And where have we seen Aerith plant flowers before? Well, it was the church when we fell through. And so we went out to the church. Great. We found the flowers. There was more stuff we found out at the church that I'll talk about in just a second. The second place was, and I didn't even go there for this either. I went there because I was curious how people were doing, was the Moogle store. I went to go play with the kids out of the Moogle store, where we had to buy something because apparently the secret medicine is housed with children. And luckily I have like a million Moogle medals that I am not using. So great, we found that. And then the third thing was that behemoth whatever horn thing that we had to go fight them down there. So, and then we were able to get him his medicine. He's so happy, blah, 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 whatever. Okay, two little updates about some of the stuff we said before. I also played the box game with the kids because, I was tired of doing side quests and I wanted to do a side quest. And then also the Chadley update. As I was saying before, I did talk to Chadley. He's so proud of my continued research.
Uh-huh.
He's so happy with me, even though I don't think I'm doing a very good job. Although I am using Assess quite a bit, actually. So, but I did one of the VR battles.
Yes.
I did Shiva.
Uh-huh.
And I got Shiva materia.
Great. I've been fighting Shiva a lot. That's the first of the five fights in the gauntlet of fights I've been doing.
Five? Why are you doing five?
Because.
That's a terrible reason.
No. So what I've been doing while you were doing chapter 14 and while I was not playing chapter 14 is I went to chapter 17 to go do a thing that you can only do in hard mode. Where you finish all of the combat simulator quests that you can do in chapter 17. And then if you finish this last gauntlet of five fights, which I have done before, because I have beaten this game on hard mode before, you get an accessory called the God of Dameron, which starts you off with a filled limit break for whichever character has it equipped, and then also makes the limit break the limit gauge refill much faster, which is a game changer for some of those really late boss fights in hard mode. So I've spent more hours trying to get it this time around than it would have taken me to probably finish the rest of the game, but that's fine. My brain's not broken. I'm doing great.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So you got the Shiva materia.
So I got the Shiva materia, and I think Chadley has more for me, but I didn't have time for Chadley.
There's another one, yeah.
Yeah.
Should you I go get do Bat it? Chocobo.
Do I need to add this to my list?
It's not like essential, but given that you can only use one summon per battle anyway, and you can't always summon anyway. But they're good to have. It's good to have different options for different fights.
I feel like Ifrit has been doing the work. Mm-hmm. Especially because I feel like every time I get to summon something, they're vulnerable to fire damage. Like this time with the behemoth. So
right.
I don't know. I'm sure that'll come back and bite me later.
Since we last talked, I bought the DLC that I didn't know existed, which included two more summons. So now I have Cactuar, which is hilarious. The little scared cactus guy who just runs around going, "Woo!" And shoots needles at your enemies. And then, crucially, Carbuncle, who heals your party, and then when he leaves, he will revive any of your party members that have been knocked out. So I have strategically left characters unconscious while I'm minding my own business to then summon Carbuncle and have him solve all my problems.
There you go. I know that Carbuncle is a thing for the summoner class in Final Fantasy 14. I don't know, a healer class, but yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Astrologian? Is that? I don't know. I'm just saying words. Anyway, that was the little Final Fantasy 14 minute there for you. That's all you're going to get this week.
I played a couple of times in the last 10 days. Yeah, I'm having a good time.
Wow, I have not seen one single invite thrown my way there, Zed. interesting.
You were on vacation, Adam.
Doesn't mean they're okay. So, the next thing, speaking of really annoying noises, Johnny is back. Why is Johnny still in this game? Why am I still watching him do anything? Why? He's so unimportant and irrelevant to everything. It makes no sense why he takes up so much capacity of this game. It makes no sense. He's out there just randomly by the Sector 5 train station, just moseying around.
And so I will point out, you don't actually unlock this until you've done the Tomboy Bandit side quest, which involves talking to Kyrie at the church.
Oh, yeah, I was going to do this first because we get the thing back from that one, right?
Yes. You get the wallet back from her, which is then how you're able to give Johnny his wallet back.
Oh, I talked to him, but I talked to him and he told me he lost his wallet.
Yes. All right. Go ahead. Tell
whatever.
Your,
Johnny's tell your story. An idiot. He keeps calling me bro. Mm-hmm. Hate that. Just really hate that. You can use bro as like a sign of like frustration or exasperation. Do not call someone else bro unironically. Like, there's just not a reason to do it.
Yeah, it ain't the 90s anymore.
Yeah, there's nothing there. just nothing. So Johnny's all upset in a tizzy. He's still flirting with Tifa somehow. But also he says, "I want to get out of here." And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cloud's like, great.
Yeah.
What do I have to do to get you out of here?
But he lost his wallet. I don't know what he was going to do with his wallet. I don't know what good money is going to do him anymore in this world where there's no trains running and no way to get out of anywhere or do anything. But whatever. He lost his wallet. Okay. So we have to go to the church, which does bring me to the tomboy kind of bandit. And it was while I was at the church collecting the medicine that we found Kyrie yet again, who was like, "Hey, I steal from everybody all the time. I'm a huge thief. I have a bunch of stuff, but also I'm in a terrible situation because somebody wants to fight me in the Walmart underground Coliseum thing." Mm-hmm. So you're going to deal with that now, and I'm just going to stay here and do nothing.
Yeah, if we go do this fight for her, she'll give us back the wallet for Johnny, and our reward will be that Johnny will go away.
Yeah. Which, I guess that's an okay reward, whatever. And so we have to go to the Colosseum, and we just have to fight that Beastmaster guy again. I think he was like the first round of the last time. This took like 10 seconds. He died in nothing, and like the Beast was maybe a little bit harder than him, but like not really. Uh-huh. And so boom, it's done. We fight him, we go back to Kyrie, he's like, "Oh, thank you. Here's his wallet, and then also a key that I'll talk about later for Don Corneo's shit. Here's a key. Oh, and then by the way, my grandma's gonna walk up, and then I'm in trouble," was the situation. And so
yeah, her grandma, who turns out to be Marae,
yes,
who we met before,
who is apparently the angel of the slums.
Yeah, classic.
Classic. This was the connection I was looking for right here. this really brought it all together.
This
was
the great mystery we needed to solve.
I was really hoping we would figure this out, this chapter, and thank God. I would not have been able to keep playing this game had we not figured this out. So this is great. Really good stuff there. Great. So we get there. We get Johnny his stuff back. Johnny's like, oh, God, I'm annoying, bro. And then, great. He leaves. He's done. And I did see at the bottom right of my screen, as Johnny was leaving, I had completed a Johnny achievement.
You got the Johnny experience trophy.
I got the Johnny experience.
You had the full Johnny experience.
I got Johnnied.
Yeah, you did.
Because he was everywhere. Yeah. Oh my God. So apparently I saw him everywhere. And if I ever play the game again, which we all know I probably won't, I don't want to see Johnny anywhere. I've had plenty of Johnny in my life, if not too much. Okay. Just a couple more. The one that I did, Corneo's secret stash.
Ah, yes.
And I do say did lightly because I actually didn't get all of this, but I know.
There's a lot of good stuff in there.
So Corneo has a secret stash and we get the key. I already said that, right? From Kyrie at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know we need to get the key, and he has apparently a bunch of stash locations. So I found the first one. It was like opposite of, I don't know. It was in one of it was in like a Sector 5 weird parkway thing.
Yeah. You've run by it before.
We've run by it so many times. Yeah. And I never even saw it, but whatever. It was littered with Moogle medals. I mean, Moogle medal after Moogle medal after Moogle medal.
Again, why?
Like 20 of them. And these are only redeemable to a child in a secret place.
It's upsetting.
What does Don Corneo need with these Moogle medals? I hate it.
Why does he have them? It's not good.
This is all really, really bad.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of treasures there too, but nothing like worth like really mentioning or saying. It was just like a bunch of loot. But it was a lot. This was the biggest one that I found because I only found one more, which was in the friggin' Collapse Expressway.
Uh-huh.
We had to go in there. There was like almost nothing in here. There was a few more Moogle medals, but there was just like one more treasure. That being said, I do know where the other one is. I believe it is down in the sewers because there was a point where we were about to climb up a ladder and I saw a switch that could have been flipped and I was like, well, why not?
Uh-huh.
And so I flipped the switch and it showed me water going down and showed me that kind of Don Corneo symbol that we had seen on the
door.
Other ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know where in the sewers that is. And so I like tried to go back for like a minute and look at it, but it was like 1:45 a.m. last night, and I was like, "Okay, I'm not gonna do this." But hypothetically, if I could find a way to get back down to the sewers,
I think it's actually okay. You got the big one, which is the one in the slums on the like back road or whatever. That's where tons of stuff is. I'm looking at what's in the one that you skipped, and one of them is an elixir, but other than that, the other stuff like really doesn't matter. I don't even know what one of them is, and I've probably had it before. An emerald tiara? Don't know.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about it.
The only thing I'm seeing is that it looks like after finishing this quest, mm-hmm. we get a good thing for Cloud to get more of those skill points for a weapon.
Gathered. Oh, that's what the emerald tiara is. It's a key item, and if you go give that to Marl, then you get the Art of Swordplay Volume 3. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so I might have to go do that.
Yeah, then it would be worth it.
All right, I'll write that down in the sewers. Okay. So that was that. We found two of them, and then we were let up. Great. That's Corneo's secret stash. I'm trying to think if there were any other side quests. Oh, there's only one more that I wasn't able to complete because, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I couldn't figure out what freaking songs to play.
Yeah, I would use the walkthrough because it's actually very easy, but there is no way to just know which ones it is. Whereas the walkthrough will tell you exactly which three songs it is and where to find them if you don't have them already.
Okay, I clearly didn't have them already. Okay. All right, I guess I'll have to go do that too. Dang, I have to do so much more with this chapter. That's surprising.
Well, but the important thing that I will tell you about doing all of the side quests in chapter 14 is that you get... I'm trying to see if this is written down in the walkthrough because I'm almost positive this is where it is. If you do all the chapter 14 side quests, you get an elemental materia, and you already missed the first one, so you really want to get this one.
And what does that do again?
If you pair it on your... on your weapon with like fire, then you have a fire sword. Or if you pair it on your armor, then you resist fire attacks. And once you have them fully leveled up, like I do now, I have them on my armor and I am healed by whatever element is I'm being hit with.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, still have more work to do there. But now, after 40 minutes of side quests into the podcast, let's talk about the actual story of chapter 14.
Yes. One question before we do go through the story, now that Please. We've been going through all the little nitty-gritty bits and bobs. Did you go do the Colosseum fights with Barrett and Tifa versus wild animals?
No.
No. Do those.
All right.
You want their level 2 limit breaks.
Yes. Hopefully chapter 15 is not a long chapter.
And those fights are easy. It will not take you long to do either of those.
Okay. I should have just done them while I was already in the Colosseum to fight the Beastmaster, but
if
I didn't.
Only someone had told you before you started playing the chapter.
Listen, Zed, I did that at like 1 a.m. last night. I had no idea what I was doing. Actually, it was probably a little bit earlier than that, but whatever. Okay. The main story of chapter 14.
Yes.
AKA the story of Leslie.
Yes. So the context of all of these side quests is that Tifa, I think, is the one who's like, we should try and help out while we can, while we're here. And we need to figure out a way to get topside. And Don Corneo is probably... the one who's going to know. Not that I want to go talk to him again, but we've got to figure out how to get up there because we've got to do something to stop Shinra.
Yes.
And that is how we're going to end up hooking back up with Leslie.
And it is in Don Corneo's mansion where we basically begin here, because after all the side quests, that's where they lead us. We go to Don Corneo's mansion. We're looking around. We're looking for the Don. I do all throughout Wall Market. Everyone's like, oh, did you hear the Don's missing? Or everyone came to... do something or whatever. And we go to the Don's mansion, and who do we find but Leslie, who I did not anticipate having that big of a role this chapter. And yet, truthfully, this was the Leslie show. After we finish the side quest, the main story of chapter 14 is basically the Leslie show. And, you know, he is like, okay, I'm here to find the Don too. I'm willing to help you. He was the one that kind of helped us out before previously. So, that, you know, we were able to kind of go with him, and it made a little bit of sense there. And basically, we are trying to get topside to stop Shinra. And he is willing to help us do that as long as we help him go kill the Don, basically, or go find the Don so he can kill him. And where should the Don be but back in the sewers through his little secret door that is not even remotely secret. Not even remotely secret, because good God, when we get in there, it is like a swimming pool in that room, how big of a hole it is. You could fit a whole hot tub in there. Like, it's massive. How does anyone miss that? It's all hollowed out somehow. I don't know. I don't really get the, like, how, I don't know. Whatever. We go down. There's also a neat ladder that was put there since we had fallen previously just days ago. And we go down, and in the sewers, there's so much fighting. So much fighting. And it takes us just forever to actually get through these sewers. It's like the path is painfully winding. I know I have done this before. I don't remember any of it. And so I probably backtrack 3 or 4 times because it's not always super obvious, like where you came from in some of these rooms, especially if you have a big fight in a room and you don't know which door you actually entered from because you lost all your bearings or whatever. So
it's tough. Yeah.
We kept going. Some notable things from the fights here. Why are we fighting so many crabs? Why are there so many crabs in these hallways that we're fighting? And they're so like defensive. They're just doing so much damage. It was really unfortunate. There were also some fish that were fighting that would just get to float around in the air.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens. And then there's some more Sahaguin who we have killed so many of in this game. And yet they keep trying. Their jump ability is very annoying. And then I think they were the ones that turns me into a frog.
Mm-hmm.
Very frustrating to be turned into a frog.
But did you notice this time your little Buster sword on your back?
No, I don't think Cloud ever got turned into a frog. Okay. I think it was only Tifa.
But she is dressed like Tifa as a frog.
Yeah, still a frog though. Still very frustrating.
I find it entertaining.
There's no solace here to be found. just frogs. Frogs all the way down. Yeah, so just killing a bunch of stuff on the way there. Yada, yada, yada. Keeps going. This took forever, Zed. Like, truly, it took forever because there were so many different hallways and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually...
Yeah, checking the big map is your friend in this process, for yeah, sure.
I don't think I did that a single time. and I think we get to... Eventually, we get to the hideout. We see the door where we think the Don is supposed to be. Again, we're getting very late in the night for me here. So this, like the telling of these stories might get progressively worse from here on out. But as we get to the door, Leslie's like, all right, I got it from here. And he just holds out a bag randomly. And this freaking rat comes through and just yoinks it. Like out of nowhere, this little guy just decides, oh, it's my turn to just steal this. And just starts running. This was so frustrating.
Yeah, the Abzu shote, I hate.
This was so frustrating. Because we have to go follow this thing forever. And we have to fight things along the way. We have to fight more Abzu. They have this stupid little tornado ability where they just start spinning around like a ballet dancer at a recital, but with a hammer. And if you go attack them, they do like 1,000 points of damage to you while they're spinning. And they just like go up on you. This was very frustrating. And then there were so many times where we were so close to the stupid thing. And then it just kept running away. This was ridiculously annoying. And it took way too long. Like truly, after all of the stuff we have done in Chapter 14, I don't understand why they felt the need to make this chase take so long. But it did. And we fought more. This was like a fake boss fight, but also like a very annoying boss fight where we had to fight the suspicious thing, or I don't even know if it was suspicious, but whatever. I almost wanted to call it enigmatic. Yeah, so we just fought more of them. There we go. Boom. Done. We get the thing back. It turns out the thing is not even a key. It's not even a key. Leslie lied to us. We hate him. Except maybe we don't hate him because it's a picture thingy. I don't know. There's a better name.
It's a locket, isn't it?
Is that what it's called? I don't know. It didn't have the feel of a locket because it didn't like close. I feel like a locket needs to like be able to lock.
Well, it's like a pendant.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Whatever. It's a picture thingy. Okay. It was a picture thingy. And it had a picture of his, ex fiance. and here is where we get the Leslie story, the story that we didn't know we needed. and here we are because, instead of fleshing out any more backstory for Tifa or Barrett or Cloud, we get Leslie. That's who we needed here, right? And Leslie tells the story of how his ex-fiance was selected by Don Corneo to be his latest bride. And in the flashback, I was a little confused on the vibes, not gonna lie. In the flashback, it seemed as though Leslie's fiance was like, this is the way it has to be. And Leslie was upset about the situation. And then my understanding here is that the Don killed Leslie's ex-fiance.
we don't really know concretely what happens to the Don's wives. Because it's, you know,
nothing
wife,
good.
Yeah, nothing good. Wife for the night or maybe the week if he really likes you. And then what? Yeah, nothing good.
Yeah. I don't understand why they have the need to call them wives. Feels like there could be better words. Well, whatever.
I mean, it's nothing good.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Truly nothing good. Truly nothing good. Okay, so we get that flashback. It's very sad. But now we're kind of bought in on Leslie here a little bit. We're kind of in on what he's doing, which is great. We love that for him, I guess. We go back, we open the door, we let Leslie lead for some reason, but then also we just walk right behind him and overhear every word that he's saying. Great. We hear the Don. Welcome back, Don Corneo. He's back in the situation, talking with Leslie. Leslie's like, oh, I figured it out. I know what's going on. Come close. And then Leslie pulls a gun on the Don, who immediately, in 0 seconds, takes the gun away and shoves Leslie to the ground. I don't know why Leslie felt like he was capable of going forward if he loses to the Don in literally 0 seconds.
After he's also been like, you guys lead the way through the sewers. Yeah. I'll be right behind you.
Yeah. Doesn't really make any sense. We would have let him have the last blow of the Don, but I don't understand. Well,
try again.
No.
Phrasing.
We would have let him have the last. No, that doesn't work either. Whatever. We would have let him kill the Don. But he decided to go in alone, and then we come in, blah, blah, blah. Barrett comes in like an absolute badass out there, just like takes the gun. He's like, you know, you listen up. And they go on, but the Don is still very confident in his abilities, because he gets to summon random evil creatures that have giant horns that, on a whim. And we're fighting more Abzus because there
why
are
not?
Just so many of them. And it's the most fun creature to fight, and I love it so much, and there's no complaints at all here about having to do this boss fight now for the second time in the same place, basically for the same purpose. I didn't like this then, obviously. If you know, I don't want to feign my sarcasm too much here. This was terrible. This was so dumb. I don't know why we had to do this again. There were just more Abzu that came out of nowhere as well. I didn't even worry about the little guys. Just took out the big head honcho. He kept shooting water at us, except it missed every time. So I don't know. Whatever. We do a boss fight, and it turns out the Don is able to flee and escape. Hate to see it. We also get to escape.
That's the important part.
Yeah. We also get to leave and go up back there. Leslie leads us out. And we're back topside. He hands us a grappling gun and is like, here you go. Good luck.
See you never.
It doesn't work on the way down, so don't fall.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, the only way out is up.
The only way out is up. There you go. Here's this little tiny gun for you. You've done everything I need you to do. So there it is. That's chapter 14. I'm honestly shocked we did it this quickly. I feel like I was flying there through most of it. Very long chapter. Some parts that I think were good. Most of it I thought was just a big grind.
Yeah, you really did do just about everything, though, other than that one, the pull-up side quest, which you can go knock out very quickly, and then back into the sewers to get the... But I will tell you, once you go back in and you get the last thing, it'll ask you if you want to go directly tomorrow, I think. So you won't have to get yourself back out. It'll just take you there, and then you'll get the music for Betty, and she'll be happy.
That's all I've ever wanted, was to make a fictitious child happy. That's
true. Who is somewhere between the ages of 3 and 8.
Somewhere in that age range. Also got to see Oates again. What a name. I actually think that Oates is such a good name for a kid. Like, that's a great name.
Uh-huh.
I would name a kid Oates.
Probably.
Although, I
honestly,
can't
with
now.
A name like Oates, they've got to be non-binary, not going to lie.
Okay. I don't think I'm gonna ascribe that to my
that's you don't have to. I did it for you.
Okay, yeah, just, you know, any future kid that I am not even remotely close to having, you do you Oates.
Yeah, you do you Oates. If you play Whack-a-Box and you get like the highest score, you get a like the I don't know if it's 20,000 points or whatever, like the highest goal score is, you get a really good accessory. So if you feel at all inclined to play some more Whack-A-Box, it's a good time. And
yeah, it was okay. I feel like I'm not very good at Whack-A-Box.
You gotta go for... It matters what weapon you use, and I'm trying to remember which, because you get different, like, you know how you get two abilities with your to use when your ATB bars fill up?
Yes. I've been using the Braver.
Yeah, if you're using a different weapon, you get Infinity's End, and that makes a difference. I think it's the Hard Edge.
I think that's the one I'm using. I think I have that ability. I just don't use it.
Yeah.
Because it takes two ATB slots instead of just one.
Right. But in Whack-A-Box, it makes a difference. And if you get the spectral cogwheel from getting the like high score, your limit gauge fills up by using, I want to say magic. It's either magic or ATB bars. So it will help your limit gauge fill up faster, which is great.
Why do all these kids have the best loot?
Where do
they get it from?
They also have a really good one that you get if you do it in hard mode. So, you know.
Where do these kids get all this stuff from?
Nobody pays attention to them. They're all underestimated. So this is what happens, you know? Mm,
dang. Well, there you go. That's chapter 14.
That's chapter 14.
I have to go back and do the stuff that I missed, but... overall, that was a lot of effort.
I'm impressed that you did as much as you did. I did not think you would do the whole chapter in 1 week, especially when you were on vacation, so that is an impressive feat. Next week we will do chapter 15, which is very short, so we will also do chapter 16, where we will be infiltrating the Shinra building.
Okay.
Dun dun dun.
Hopefully not a lot of walking stairs. Didn't love that laugh.
Have you gotten new weapons for people along the way? Are you checking in at the weapon stores?
No.
You should do that.
I like the Hard Edge for Cloud, and I don't know how I would ever go away from Big Bertha, but maybe Tifa could use something new.
Yeah, it's always good to check. I think you got a new weapon for Barret from one of the side quests, which is the Wrecking Ball.
Oh, I do have a Wrecking Ball, but it's like it's a melee weapon. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's very silly. There's another one that he has, which is pincers.
I also got that one.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Why? Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I've seen enough of that. No more cranes. Why are they forcing cranes on me in all these different content?
Sometimes I'll go through and play parts of the game in hard mode that are easy because I've already played it. And I'll just give Barret, I'll give them all silly weapons just because it's funny to watch them do the fights with things that make no sense. But yeah, it's good to use them at least long enough to master all of the abilities that they have as you're going through your different weapons. I think there's a new sword you can get for Cloud. Tifa will have something coming up in chapter 16, I believe, if she hasn't gotten something new already. So keep an eye out. The chests that have purple light rather than yellow light, how they normally glow, those are the ones that are going to have special stuff in them in particular.
Okay.
But always be keeping an eye on opportunities for upgraded equipment, because the end of the game is coming and it's hard.
Okay. Yeah, will do.
So chapters 15 and 16 for next week. Do we have any updates to your attractiveness rankings?
We do. I will keep this brief here. So from bottom to the top, number 10. Madame M still on the list.
Wow. All the way down at number 10.
The way down at number 10. Yeah, there's some shakeups here. Number 9, welcome to the list, Kyrie.
Wow, okay.
Has made the list. Number 8, Chocobo Sam, also still on the list.
Kyrie dressed in the most like early 2000s outfit I've ever seen in my entire life, by the way.
It really worked for me.
Looks like she walked out of a Britney Spears concert and was like, hey, everybody, listen to my propaganda about Wutai.
Yeah. And I was listening. Number 7 is Rude, still on the list. I'm worried about him going down a little bit. Number 6, potentially the biggest shock of all time, we barely saw her. Leslie's fiance.
Whoa.
Is number six. We didn't see much, but I
don't
like,
even know what she looks like.
We didn't see much, but I like what I saw. Number five, Andrea Rodea, still there.
Holding
number
strong.
Four, Leslie.
See, and you didn't even put him on the list last time.
Well, we didn't get a lot of his story last time. It was so like it was so small and insignificant, and now here we are. It was the Leslie story. He probably won't be on the list for very long. He certainly won't be high for very long, but there we go. And then number three, Aerith. A little bit of a drop, but we didn't see her at all this chapter. Number two, Barrett. And number one, Tifa. So pretty strong still at the top of the list. Not a ton of shakeups there. But some new additions.
Cloud, just a non-entity.
Cloud is gone. List. Yeah, Cloud is gone. I'm sorry. I don't think Cloud will ever be on the list again. I don't know how I would ever put him there. So goodbye, Cloud.
No Cloud, but Leslie's fiance, who I don't think even has a name.
Well.
Unpredictable to the very last, Adam.
Yep.
Great. So that's what we have for you this week here on the Final Fantasy podcast. But Adam is prolifically speaking into microphones elsewhere. Adam, what else you got going on?
I am literally in -3 minutes. I am going to be going to talk with Jess Sterling about Mythic Quest. We are, I think, 7 episodes into the third season. So very exciting there. Go check that out on Post Show Recaps. And then a Doctor Who podcast with Kevin Mahadeo and Melissa Woodward. We're very excited to continue along with that. I'm also on Twitter at PNMAdam1. And that's all for me for this week. We're taking a break from some other stuff. So that's it for me. Not as prolific as usual.
Okay. Still lots going on for you. I feel like I've recorded, dropping this week, I believe, is the, or maybe not till early next week, but by the time you hear this, it'll be soon. Is the 2020 year in review, Our Flag Means Death podcast. I got to get back together with Grace and Sarah Carradine to reminisce over the gayest pirate show in the history of television. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's so good. It's 5 hours total because it's 10 30-minute episodes. It's a great time, lots of wonderful performances, lots of great representation, and a second season is coming. They just wrapped filming in the last couple of days. So that'll be in the Post Show Recaps 2022 year in review feed, or in the main feed, or wherever you get your Post Show Recaps podcasts. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at Hard Rock Hope, complaining about the finale of Survivor 43. And you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/hardrockhope, futilely trying to beat Bahamut over and over and over and over and over again. That's going to be it for us this week. We will catch you next week with chapters 15 and 16 of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Until then, take care, everybody. Bye-bye.